York City, border to border, and coast to coast. You're connected with Tom Sullivan.
Oh, yes, you are. Hi, how are you? Welcome to the Big Radio Show. Happy, let me see, what day is this? Oh, yes. Happy Friday to you on this 24th day of August, year of our Lord, 2018. My name is Tom Sullivan, and well, boys and girls, since we last gathered together, let's see, who else has picked up immunity, huh? I mean, they just keep coming, and I'm curious what your reaction is to all of this. It appears to me that they are meaning we've got Bob Mueller on the special prosecutor. You've got the attorney general here in the state of New York, who is a fairly new attorney general, but her credentials, she is a really, really, really smart lawyer. And so she's going after Trump, and the Manhattan district attorney is now going after Trump. And not only did, you know, you've got people that are getting immunity out there, but they've added to the stack from yesterday. We were talking to you about the guy who runs National Enquirer, David Pecker, and how he has immunity and how he was such a longtime friend and a regular at the Mar-a-Lago place during the wintertime. Old buddies going back decades, and now you've got, and you've got his safe, which I want to ask you about, but now you've got, and I saw this, maybe it's because I come from the bean counter world, but I went, oh boy, the chief financial officer of the Trump Organization, Alan Weisenberg, has been granted immunity. So I don't, this is starting to build up where, and it's also getting closer to people that are at Trump's right arm, have been at Trump's right arm, have been in offices right next to his in his compound over at Trump Tower. So they are putting the squeeze on people to get to the point where they are going to try and get Donald Trump on whatever they can get him on. So this Alan Weisenberg, I mean, he knows. You read somebody's books, and you don't even have to have audio. All you need to do is just look at the revenue and look at the expenditures, and you will see what's going on in an organization. It doesn't take long to get a feel for an organization. And so this guy, Alan Weisenberg, who the people that know him say, the guy's as honest as the day is long. Yeah, but if they call you up and they say, did you cut a check to Stormy Daniels? Did you send a check over to American Media Incorporated to David Pecker? Yes, I did. Well, you could be charged with a violation of campaign finance laws. Are you aware of that, Mr. Weisenberg? I can hear that conversation. And at that point, he lawyers up. So the guy may be as honest as the day is long and just doing what he's told to say, look, we got a check. You need to write a check to American Media for $130,000. Okay. What do we classify it as? Legal expense. Okay. Bean counters, that's all they really want to know is the who, where, what, why of a disbursement. Where does it go? What is it for? How do I classify it in the books? What account do I put it under? Accountants can't go forward without knowing what we're going to call it. And if Michael Cohen's on the phone and says, yeah, the boss told me to tell you to write a check for $130,000 and send it over to American Media. And Weisenberg says, what's it for? Legal expense. Okay. I don't see how he, I mean, again, we don't know how deep all of this goes, but to extend immunity to the chief financial officer of the Trump Organization, We don't know what it involves, but it looks to me like this is a major development. He has to have knowledge of every single major personal and business deal that Donald Trump has been involved in since he started in the real estate business. So I don't know what you make of that. You've got friends, so-called friends. I don't know if they're friends in the sense that you and I have friends, or whether they're people that were hangers on that were just, you know, hanging around Donald Trump because he was famous and rich, or whether they were really friends. But they're turning on him. I mean, Michael Cohen was, I will take a bullet for Donald Trump, and now he says, I would not take a pardon from Donald Trump. And David Pecker, who has been there with this story about the safe, which broke right after the show last night, the fact that I don't understand how these people live. I don't understand the way they do business. Maybe I ran a bunch of businesses. I started a bunch of businesses. I ran my own investment firm for over 30 years. I didn't tape anybody. I didn't record anybody. I didn't keep secret files in a safe on anybody. I don't understand. Is this kind of a mob type operation that does this sort of thing where David Pecker, according to the people that worked at AMI, that he had a safe, and that safe he put all kinds of things in regarding Donald Trump payments to hush money payments. That went in, the documents on that went into the safe. But he did this apparently for other wealthy people and celebrities who the gig was, you call David Pecker, you tell David Pecker to pay this person for their story about the dirt they have on me. Then you pay them for the story. They give you the story. You take that story, you put it, and you deep six it. Except for David Pecker did not deep six it. He put it in a file and put it in a safe so that he would always have that over you. You know, I've got all this information on you. It's all almost like J. Edgar Hoover had on politicians. He kept files that he could use against people. Or if he had some celebrity from Hollywood and he had a bunch of dirt on him and he wanted the celebrity to do some big story for National Enquirer, and the celebrity goes, I don't want anything to do with National Enquirer. Well, I've got this file here, you know, about the dirt that was told to me about you. We paid that person off. Okay. I'll do whatever you want. And that's how he ran his business, and still, I guess, still runs his business. So this whole, I don't understand the way people do business. I thought I kind of had a decent grip on running a business. There are places and there are industries where there is a lot of under-the-table sort of stuff going on. I ran into it in one particular city that I did some business in, and it would seem like everybody and their brother was looking for payoff underneath the table. I mean, it just absolutely turned me off. So this is what happens when you have something embarrassing about you that you don't want to get out. You go through an intermediary. That intermediary is going to record whatever you told them, going to record whatever the dirt is from the whoever is the accuser, and they're going to hold that to blackmail you. So I look at this as David Pecker is scot-free, even though it sounds like he had a blackmail operation going, if you want to try and take it out to the end of what you might imagine. So who else you got turning on Donald Trump? I mean, it's got this. Oh yeah, what's her name? Servo. What is her name? She was an apprentice contestant, and she Summer. Yeah, Summer Zervos. She's in the middle of a lawsuit after President Trump. She's not. I guess she's turning on him, but she never was pretending like she was a friend. She was on The Apprentice. She says that he groped her, and she said that she told the story to somebody, and Trump came out and said she's a liar. So now she is suing him for defamation, saying, I'm not a liar. He called me a liar, and they are coming down to the point where there may be a civil deposition coming up very soon as well. So I look at where our president is, and he is surrounded by people that he thought he could trust that are turning on him. I don't know if you have turned on him. I read the same stories you do that says that there is a base, and they don't care what this man does. It doesn't matter. Then there's the group that hasn't liked him from the get-go, and they still don't like him. So the question is, what happens to the people that are in between the hardcore base and the haters? And what do you make of, I mean, this is watching prosecutors do what prosecutors do. They get somebody lower on the chain to go up for the kingpin. They're trying to get to the kingpin. So they will offer people, small-time criminals, the moon and the stars in order to get the kingpin. That's what it looks like to me. I don't know if they're going to be successful, but it's got to be something that's going to take more and more of President Trump's mind, thoughts, time, effort, concern, sleep. Phone number is 855-295-6600. Does this look like they're trying to get the kingpin to you? We'll be right back.
Connect and engage with Tom Sullivan. On air, online, on demand.
So there's a psychology business going on here, I think. It's a big psychology test to me. I'm looking at what they're doing, and Donald Trump, first and foremost, is a human being, and he's got to be looking at this and going, I see them behind me, I see them in front of me, I see them all around me. And I don't know... the stories are always that Donald Trump has always demanded loyalty from the people that work for him, but that it's kind of a one-way street. Well, I don't know about that. But here's some people that he may have thought were loyal to him. Well, I'll throw Omarosa in there, too. I mean, he bent over backwards for Omarosa, and she's throwing him under the bus. So he's had a couple of weeks here where people that he thought were his friends are going, what do you want to know? What do you want to know? I'll tell anything. Please don't accuse me of a crime. So I don't know if you've ever been in that situation. I never have of where I know something about somebody that they did something illegal or possibly illegal. And the police are knocking on my door saying, what do you know? Phone number is 855-295-6600. Tom in Reno, Nevada. Hello, Tom.
Hi, Tom. It's been a while since I talked to you.
Yeah.
I see this as an overreach of the government coming in, almost like a conspiracy to overthrow a duly elected president. This almost feels like treason to me. You have a group of people in power that are using unlimited resources that they have, being state or federal, to go after everybody he knows to try to get them to say something about it.
All right. Let me ask you.
And they're going in, you know, if somebody said something about you and then they went to all of your friends, we want to subpoena all your records.
Right.
We're going to drag you into court and they tell them, we're going to break you. You're going to be broke and desolate out on the street unless you give us something. And that's what they're doing.
So here's the problem. And I was going to ask the same question of you was, all right, so I don't know who they're going to find that would be able to, with evidence, say, yeah, Sullivan committed a crime. I'll testify to that. Because you can't just, a prosecutor can't just take your word. They have to get corroborating evidence. So they have to come to a friend of mine and say, did Sullivan commit a crime? Because if he did, we're going to put you in jail. If you know about it, you don't tell us. Okay, he committed a crime. Okay, where's the evidence of it? Do you have something that could show us that he committed a crime? And I'm going, how many people in your life, Tom, could they squeeze and provide evidence that you committed a crime? How many?
Oh, my accountant.
Have you committed a crime that your accountant knows about?
You know the tax law, Tom. If you file taxes, you probably committed a crime somewhere, depending on how somebody interprets it.
That's a stretch. I know the taxes are not.
And you're going to get 10 different results.
You will get different results on a tax return, but it's got to be material. It has to be material. You can't make a small error and be charged with a crime. My point to you is, don't get picky now. I'm looking at the big psychological part here. How many people in your life would be able to testify that you committed a crime? How many people?
Boy, I couldn't tell you. I don't commit crimes that I know of.
Thank you. That's the answer.
I'm not a national business developer.
It doesn't matter. I'm just saying, if you've never committed a crime, how could anybody testify against you? They wouldn't be successful. So I'm going, how is it that they got all these people surrounding him that they have got under their crosshairs? I mean, I don't know. Do you tape your are you in... Whenever you deal with people, whether you're in business or not, I don't know, but have you ever taped anybody? You keep secret files? You keep dirt on people? I don't know who these so-called friends are. What do you keep?
No, these are... Oh, I keep records. I take photographs. You know, it's not friends, but it's, you know, if I see somebody doing something wrong, then I might have to use that information in the future. I'll take a record of it.
Huh. Okay. I guess people do. I don't. I don't know. I guess have a boring life. All right. Tom, thank you. I appreciate the call very much. We'll take a short break and be right back.
He likes it when you talk back. Tom Sullivan.
So the question is, why are all these people turning on Donald Trump? And I find it fascinating that he has surrounded himself with people who he may have thought were loyalist, but they're not. And I don't know what you would do if the law enforcement knocked on your door and said, are you aware of Joe down the street, crime that he committed? And if you are, we're going to charge you with a crime unless you spill the beans on him. I don't think I've seen this come forward so fast in 1 week. You can follow me on Twitter. The address is @SullivanRadio. Deplorable Russian bot sends me a tweet. Says, Tom, you're missing the point. None of this should even be happening. It started out as an investigation into Russian collusion, and now look where they're at. In my humble opinion, it's an illegal search. I agree with you, but it's within the realm of the special counsel, which is another, if you want to dig deeper on it, I think special counsels themselves are unconstitutional, but there is a provision for a special counsel that Congress gave it to the Attorney General of the United States and the AG's regulations. It's right there, but I think it's wrong because the special counsel... is not responsible for answering to you and me, the people. So I don't like the concept of special counsel at all. Just go to the local prosecutor. Go to the U.S. attorney. Do what we've got lots of federal prosecutors. I don't know why we need a special counsel, but we've got one. And it's in the regulations under the Department of Justice that the Attorney General can appoint a special prosecutor. And Lynette sends me a tweet. I've heard this a million times. She says, most of us, not blinded by absolute hate for POTUS, are watching the Mueller in search of a crime brigade with nothing short of awe. How did Rosenstein get away with appointing a special prosecutor without naming an actual crime? Lynette, send me where you get the source for the requirement that there has to be an actual crime identified before they start an investigation. I've heard that argument a thousand times, and I'm more than willing to listen. But in the way law enforcement works is called probable cause. If I am a police officer and I believe that you may have committed a crime, I can start an investigation on you. I don't know if there's a crime, but I won't know if there's a crime unless I actually do the investigation and go, yep, there sure was, or nope, there was no crime. But you can't. But you don't start off with the crime and work from there. You start off with the probable cause that a crime has been committed. And so they started with what they are describing as probable cause that the Russians were colluding with the Trump campaign people. Now that, that there is the whole argument. But Cyberloafing says the Never Trumpers in our government are attempting a peaceful coup. They will turn over every rock until they find something they can charge him with, no matter how insignificant. Well, I think you're right. They are going to turn over. They are turning over every rock. And they're getting closer and closer and closer to the rocks that are right around the White House garden. I've been thinking about it, and I go, I've known some people in my life that I've, man. But my friends, I don't know of any friend that I would be able to say, oh, yeah, that person committed a crime and I want immunity. Or vice versa, that they would be able to find a crime that I've committed. How many of you have committed a crime that other people know about and they're being quiet about it? So this is what, I mean, this whole idea about the fact that they're turning over rocks, I agree. And the question is, are they going to come up with, he missed a $110 tax bill, which would be ridiculous. Or what? I don't know. I also look at Donald Trump, and he's been in business a long time, and he's done business around the world, and here in New York, the real estate industry, there's a lot of questionable characters. Let me put it that way. Questionable people. And how they've done business, you look at it and you go, I don't know if they're doing business legally. So will they be able to find something in Donald Trump's real estate development business that they can nail him on? And that's what sounds like what the Manhattan DA and the New York State Attorney General are trying to do, is find something that he did wrong in his business career. And the only reason they're doing that is because Mueller looks like he's not able to find some sort of Russian connection. So they're going to find him on a state charge of some kind that a president cannot pardon somebody on. I think that's where this is going. I think, it's going down its own road. And I just don't think Donald Trump is a choir boy. So they will probably find something. And they're squeezing all of his so-called friends, and they're flipping like you can't believe. 855-295-1250. 6600. Steve at Fort Pierce, Florida. Hello, Steve.
Hey, how you doing? I haven't talked to you in a while.
Hey, sir.
I kind of deal with it in semantics, too. An investigation doesn't mean that there's a prosecution.
True.
And, you know, prosecutors are not, in general, investigators.
True.
They might, and that's semantics. That's just one point I'd like to make. So they're assuming a crime which is not even a crime. Even because they have no collusion. Comey and others have said that from the beginning, but they're trying to establish it. But if they establish it, it's not a crime. The second point is those that are doing the prosecuting, if they're saying that there was collusion, that means that there had to be information to collude, because people are not going to collude with somebody that has no information.
True.
And then since it was a search to find goods on Hillary Clinton, what they're doing is they're placing Hillary Clinton at risk because they are saying Donald Trump was colluding with the Russians who had information about Hillary Clinton that would be detrimental to the election. So, in a sense, they're shooting themselves in the foot, too, at the same time.
Where's this going to go?
The other point that I'd
Where's this going, though? Because look at all these people that are closer and closer to Trump that are flipping on
him. I agree. And what the big point here is that we've already seen with the example of Hillary Clinton that the justice system has presented itself in a different way to the Democrats.
True.
That they had not gone to the extremes that they have with Trump, with Hillary Clinton. Well, those extremes, guess what? You know, all this stuff that they're looking into, do you know Donald Trump was a Democrat then?
Yes, for a long time.
Do you know that he backed Hillary Clinton?
Right.
That he gave money into, you know, so see, another thing, that shoots him in the foot. Because they can't stand on ethics or anything like that. Because what they're doing is they're using the power of the government offices of law to inflict their own political views, and it's outside, actually, of the Constitution because there's not a crime committed. They're going back into history trying to prove a point that and use it as for impeachment, but to understand what what they're using for impeachment is not even part of the
Remember, impeachment is not a legal process. It's a political process. The Democrats already have plenty of things that they can say, this is why we're impeaching him. I don't know where this is going, but I got to hit my break. Steve, I appreciate your call very much. We'll be right back.
Unpredictable, unprecedented, undeniable. Tom Sullivan.
So I get a nice tweet from Jackie. She says, I think what most people don't understand is how a special prosecutor appointed to find Russian collusion has now expanded to whatever we can find on Trump and his family and associates to destroy them. Yep. Yeah, but that's what special prosecutors have always done. They have gone down, they got a lot of paths to follow. They never seem to follow the original mantra, but they have written into their job description is go where you have to go. So how does this play? Because again, there's the Trumpsters who love him no matter what. Believe everything he says, doesn't matter, he's perfect. You got the never Trumpers who hate him. He can never do anything right or say anything right. He's always the buffoon. It's the people in the middle. And the people in the middle, like I look at and I go, how are they looking at this? What are they thinking? Do they think that this is a witch hunt? Or do they think this is what prosecutors do and it's all very normal? And if you have people around you that are nefarious people, you've got some bad friends. 855-295-6600. Dennis in Vero Beach, Florida. Hello, Dennis.
Hi, how you doing?
Doing
great. We have to admit what this is. This is a political assassination by the judiciary. This man should have never been appointed. There's no crime. You're having a hard time.
I don't know why we keep. I got to stop you. Why do all of you keep saying? Where do you get this talking point about there's no crime?
If you look at the statute for how do you appoint a special prosecutor, there has to be a crime, and there was none.
No, there does not have to be a crime.
Like giving people money.
No. I've read it. It doesn't say that. It doesn't say that.
What Trump ought to do.
Wait a minute. Dennis, do you hear me? Dennis.
Special prosecutor.
Dennis, okay, you're talking without listening. Are you hard of hearing? Do you hear me?
Do you hear me? Yes.
Where do you get this part about there has to be a crime?
Because a special prosecutor is only appointed if there is a crime. There was no crime. They're searching
that, for
that.
Where did you get that from? That doesn't exist.
Well, yes, it does. Yes, it does. Okay, why don't you just skip that and say, well, all your subject is immunity. Immunity is like giving people money. That's what it is. You're saying, well, you're not going to chase you, so we're going to. It's like a get out of jail free card. Okay?
Okay.
So you can go and chase anybody you want with that, and I think Trump should fire everybody, take his chances in the midterms. That's what I think.
So why hasn't he? I'm curious about that too. If this is the witch hunt and he's the executive, why doesn't he fire these people? Why does he still have Jeff Sessions?
This has become way more than a witch hunt. This has become a lynching.
Why doesn't he fire Jeff Sessions and Rod Rosenstein?
Well, because he kept thinking if he does that, everybody will get really upset. And that he wouldn't win the midterms. Well, they keep thinking he won't win the midterms anyway. He might as well get the ones that love him, the Trumpers, as you call them. He might as well get us upset and go ahead and fire those guys, and we'll all vote for him.
I was going to say, at this point, I mean, this is getting serious. This is getting more serious each and every day.
Totally.
And so I think... if this is a life or death deal for Donald Trump, I mean, he's got the power. Use it.
Yep. Absolutely. You're absolutely right. You know, get all those records, unclassify them, and let's see how they like that.
I would start there. I would do exactly that first. Say, all right, all those records, I want them sent over here to my office, and tomorrow I'm going to hand them out to the media. We're going to show everybody what was in there. I'll tweet on it.
They've been hiding that for years.
I know. So, see, these are the things where I scratch my head and I go, I don't understand a lot of what's going on because it doesn't make any sense to me that why doesn't he fire Jeff Sessions or Rod Rosenstein? Why doesn't he get those documents and waive the secrecy of them and put them out, because everything that they have said was too secret, they couldn't be released in the past. When they finally got it released, it wasn't secret at all. So let's see what they got.
Absolutely. I think he's getting advice that is, you have to lay back, you have to take your time, you can't have people get all upset on the other side, and you should take it easy. So he's been doing that. I hope he blasts them out of the water.
Well, if you're in a house that's burning down, you can wait for a while. You can wait. But there comes a point where you've got to do something or you're going to die. So we'll argue later, Dennis, about the whole thing about there has to be a crime. I am convinced that there doesn't have to be. But I do agree with you on the fact that they are going to try and find, now that they've gone to the Manhattan DA and the state attorney general in New York, I mean, it is clear to me that that says Mueller doesn't have the goods, and they're going to go down that road because it's state, it's not federal, and Trump can't do anything about that, and they're going to look at every transaction that the man ever did in real estate, and I presume he's probably made some mistakes.
Well, I wish he could go back and sue them for the fact that they can't turn that over to New York because they never had jurisdiction in New York.
Well, his business activities as a New York business, that's what they're going down. His foundation they're going after, which I think is specious. And they'll get him on a technical on that. They will get him on a technical. But that's the thing. If you're going to try and bring down the president, you better do more than have a technical foul. You better have more than jaywalking. It's got to be really big.
But why should the special prosecutor who's looking for crimes in Russia turn over a real estate deal to New York? That's, you can talk about specious. That's a great word. Good. It is.
Yeah.
Very specious. Hopefully the Supreme Court would say you can't do that to an American citizen.
Well, I don't know where this is going, but they're obviously turning over the rocks in the garden of the White House. They're really close. I mean, I don't know if you have friends that you think are close friends that would never turn on you. Donald Trump's got to be spinning right now. These are his Michael Cohen, David Pecker. These are his buddies. Alan Weiselberg. I mean, the people that you relied upon, the people that you trusted, the people you did business with, are flipping and going to state's evidence as fast as they can. Anyway, Dennis, thank you. I do appreciate your call. We'll argue later about the whole thing about there's got to be a crime. But regardless of whether there has to be a crime or not a crime, they're circling the wagons fast.